Is your website pretty? Does it work right? Can people find it? If you answered no or kinda to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, the lexical cognizant and SEO director guy of Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to this week's Mind Your Business podcast. I'm so glad you're here. We got many, many nuggets of information for you to take with you this week. In the second half of the show, we're going to be talking with our very own Chad McComsey, lead designer and co-founder of Mind. We're going to talk some color psychology with him, talk about the kind of colors you should or shouldn't be using on your website, and the kind of thought you should be putting into the colors that you use or don't use. Really, really fascinating stuff. And also going to talk about some news from Bing, where they filtered out some URLs for keyword stuffing. We haven't even seen Google do this, so this is some fascinating news. But first, I'm not a big flag waver, but I got to wave my own flag here. About a month ago, I predicted that we will see a Google Penguin update coming up before the end of 2014. Now, I kind of stuck my neck out there because I had no actual concrete proof that this was going to happen. But if you connect the dots and you look reasonably at what John Mueller and what Matt Cutts have said over the last few months, it was pretty easy to see that something was going to be happening. So Penguin update coming up before the end of 2014, John Mueller of Google has come out and confirmed that we will see this. And just to recap for any of you who don't know exactly what Google Penguin is all about, here's the actual definition. The Penguin update is aimed at decreasing search engine rankings of websites that violate Google's webmaster guidelines by using now declared black hat SEO techniques involved in increasing artificially the ranking of a web page by manipulating the number of links pointing to the page. Such tactics are commonly described as link schemes. Bottom line, all these people that call you, and I know all of you listening have gotten some of these calls. They still happen, and I can't believe they still happen, but they do. You get calls from people, and you see online where people will build links to your site, and there are still SEOs out there that focus on link building in that way. The only legitimate way to do link building, and I hate using the term link building, is through content marketing. And even then, you can't overdo it, and you've got to be producing good, legitimate, real content. It can't be stuff that's just written for the purpose of trying to get a link. And that has proven to be a problem for a lot of businesses. Businesses want results, and they want results now. And I'm sorry, in the world of SEO and internet marketing, results don't happen overnight. You do get lucky sometimes, but by and large, they're not going to happen overnight. You have to build it. Unfortunately, a lot of companies that got antsy and either A, decided to try to skirt the system, tried to game the search engines, fully knowing that they were gaming the search engines, and they got caught, or you had businesses that trusted an SEO to be doing things legitimately, and that SEO wasn't. And as a result, that business is no longer in business. And believe me, Penguin put a lot of internet companies out of business. So the thing to remember about Penguin, it's all about combating improper link building. So the bottom line is, any method of getting links to your website that involves simply paying for links, you do not buy links. Don't ever buy links. If it involves that, walk away, because you are asking for trouble if you do that. And Penguin caught a lot of people who were doing this. So what's happened is Penguin was introduced in April of 2012, and it was tweaked the next month in May. And when it was first unveiled, a lot of businesses saw their ranking disappear. And it was based on the fact that there were too many unnatural links coming into their sites. Like, if you're a car dealership, if you're a clothing store or a bedding store online or what have you, and you've got links coming in from European casinos and porn sites, and believe me, a lot of businesses did, and they didn't even realize it. That kind of stuff, number one, you shouldn't be doing that to begin with. That's just wrong. And number two, that's the kind of stuff that raises red flags with Google, because, again, you got to be concerned with quality and not just quantity. Penguin took care of that problem in a big way and continues to. Now, the controversy here has been that since Penguin was introduced in April 2012 and was tweaked that next month in May, it's been updated in May and October since then until this year, when there was no update in May 2014. Now, a lot of theories abound as to why, but to me, it's pretty obvious. Google's got to be sick and tired of dealing with black hat SEOs. So why not get the point across by missing an update? Google doesn't have to update. They're the search engine. They call the shots. I could be completely wrong about this, but what a great way to get your point across and still adhere to your schedule. I could certainly see Google sitting there saying, you know, we're so tired of dealing with these black hat SEOs. Let's just not update Penguin in May, because what that does is anybody who was hit by the Penguin update last October and fixed their problem, they're not going to really see the results of their fixes until the next Penguin update comes out. So all those people that were caught have to wait an extra 6 months or however much longer. We still don't know exactly when this update's going to be. It's been reported it will be by the end of 2014. So we'll see if it happens in October or November or December, but we are going to see that Penguin update coming before the end of 2014. And if you're listening to this and you were hit by it, make sure you've done your due diligence and taken care of your problems with unnatural links coming into your site. Get rid of them. And then when this next update happens, it should be some good news for you. Now, a story came out today that Bing has filtered out 130 million URLs for keyword stuffing. Now, a few short years back, the big overused buzzword in SEO and internet marketing was long-tail keywords. And I had a great conversation with a client yesterday about long-tail keywords. And this client bought up a whole bunch of URLs years ago and has hung on to them and actually has some really, really good, basic, simple URLs that have some powerful keywords in them. Now, the problem is there aren't a whole lot of those kinds of URLs that are left. Basically, long-tail keywords came about as a natural progression, natural evolution, as the most popular and easy-to-remember URLs were claimed, and it became harder and harder to find a URL to buy that you really liked and that was really pertinent to what you do as a business. And I always like to use real estate sites as an example. If you're a realtor in Des Moines, Iowa, the most coveted URL would be something like DesMoinesRealEstate.com. So you look that up. Well, if that's taken, you check on DesMoinesHomes.com. If that's taken, DesMoinesHomesForSale.com. DesMoinesProperty.com, YourDesMoinesRealtor.com. I mean, you can find any kind of combination to make sure you're getting Des Moines and real estate or properties or whatever in there. The problem is so many of those URLs are already taken that if you go down that route, it gets to where the URLs get longer and longer and longer to the point of being ridiculous, all because people focus so much on getting keyword-rich URLs. If you're doing this, stop. Don't take it to that extreme. Exercise reason. And with Bing doing this, yeah, it does make one wonder if Google is looking at doing this, because we've not seen Google do anything quite like this before. But the fact is, most of the best URLs in any business arena are already taken. People that have them know that they're good, and they're not letting go of them anytime soon. And if they are, the cost will be extremely high. But in most cases, they're not letting go of them because they know that it is helping their business. Take the DesMoinesRealEstate.com URL, for example. It's been owned since 1998, 16 years. And there's a lot more out there like that in your particular business arena. Be sensible with your URL choice. I mean, recognize that if you didn't buy your URL in 1998 or didn't buy it in the early to mid-2000s, then your choices for URLs for your business are going to get more and more difficult because there's not a whole lot of good ones really left. So just be sensible with your URL choice and don't treat it as though it's the keys to the kingdom. It's not. Just make sure it's pertinent to what you do the best that you can. And remember that there are hundreds of factors in search engine algorithms and the URL is only one of many. Now we come back, we're going to be talking color psychology with Chad McComson.
Chicks dig dudes with algorithmic integrity, and dudes dig chicks with social semantics, if you get my drift. Can you feel the cyber love? We'll be right back after these messages.
Sometimes cheap is good, but isn't your website too important to trust to some cheap web host? Like a really great cup of fresh coffee, sometimes it's worth paying a few cents more. If you're tired of downtime and slow performance, it's time for a better web host. Fresh Roasted Hosting's accelerated web hosting means your pages load faster and can handle more traffic, while their virtual and dedicated servers mean you've got room to grow. Best of all, every hosting service is backed by 24-hour support and a 99.9% uptime SLA. And thanks to their Tier 2 data centers in Texas and Pennsylvania, Fresh Roasted Hosting delivers a full range of hosting solutions. Accelerated web hosting, domain names, private servers, even co-location services, they've got you covered. Your website is too important to trust to some cheap web host. Upgrade to Fresh Roasted Hosting today and use promo code FRESH2014 to save 10% on any new hosting service. Visit FreshRoastedHosting.com today. Terms and conditions apply. See FreshRoastedHosting.com for complete details.
If you have a question you want answered on a future podcast, visit MindDnD.com/podcast and click on the Podcast Questions Ask Now button. We love your questions. Keep them coming.
And we're back with the Mind Your Business podcast. As promised, lead designer and Mind co-founder Chad McComsey is here to psych you out. Going to talk about color psychology with regard to design of your website. I'm glad you caught that. It makes me feel a little less old. Now, color psychology is about more than, oh, I like this color, or this color's cool, this color's pretty, or whatever. We're talking about what makes a certain color work better for your business or your website. Why is it appealing? What response does it get from your visitors? There's a lot of thought that goes into it. And do you think it's fair to say, Chad, that most businesses, when they go into making a website, whether it's their first website or a redesign, that most people may not put quite that much thought into it? They may be thinking about what I like, but not why do I like it or why would visitors like it?
In general, we typically end up finding that people already have a brand, or they already have a color scheme in mind. They think they know like what they want it to look like based on like a loose concept that they might have. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we're kind of bound by those restrictions in a sense, but it's primarily based on what they like and what they think looks good. And realistically, sometimes you can pick the wrong color that may bring about a feeling you don't want, or something that you weren't expecting. And, you know, it happened plenty of times, you know, in the past, but it's definitely not something that we find people really get into. Folks that have like a design background that have kind of started from, you know, at least having a basic concept of color theory, they typically get it a little bit better. So like if we're working with another design agency or working with somebody that has a marketing backbone, or they have somewhere in the company that knows a little bit about design or knows a little bit about, you know, colors in general, you know, they have that concept. They typically pick the better color schemes, and they're definitely open to different ones based on the same concept. And that's not saying that we would like rebrand or anything like that.
What would you say are traditionally the most eye-catching and attention-getting colors? And I always use the McDonald's example and even the Coke example. That color red is, and again, I'm dating myself here, but in my marketing education and experience, it's like that bright red and that bright yellow are just eye-catching, attention-getting colors. Whether you like the way they look or not, your attention is focused on them when you see them, wherever you see them, billboard, sign, website, or whatever, they get that response from you. What do you find to be the most eye-catching colors in design for web? And is there a difference between that and billboard marketing and whatnot?
That whole group of questions could be answered in a couple different ways. Eye-catching, attention-getting, you know, you're looking typically something bright. You are correct in saying that reds typically elicit the largest response, or that they're used for attention-getting purposes. That's why stop signs are red. You see those kind of things in your everyday life that you might take for granted, the usage of colors just, you know, on your daily commute. So yeah, so red's an attention getter, yellows are attention getters. Going back to the driving thing, yellows and blacks, your typical workway, roadway signs, they're yellow and black because it has been noted that yellow and black are the best contrasting colors for those attention getting signs. You know, you might think, you know, black and white is very stark. It's, you know, black and white, obviously. But in actuality, adding that yellow actually adds the extra emphasis, the extra impact that makes it more recognizable, more attention getting. You know, you brought up billboard advertising and, you know, McDonald's and Coke. McDonald's specifically, you had mentioned the yellow and red. Yep. The yellow and red combination, it's certainly attention getting with the red, but the combination actually is used to elicit a hunger response. When you see those colors together, most times they're used in food advertisement and they are used to, they make you hungry. Like those color combinations, you see those together, the reds, the yellows, some varying degrees of oranges, but think of the signs that you see at Sheetz, McDonald's, Arby's, yeah. Burger King. You could go on and on with it. So like there's actually more of a physiological response with those colors and why those are used specifically, you know, in the food industry.
So Chad, you mentioned the hunger response with the reds and the yellows at McDonald's, and then you went on to use the Sheetz example, Arby's and all that. I never thought about that before.
It's pretty cool.
It really is. And it's something I never thought about there. I thought about like in terms of when I go to a website, because we're on the computer all day, every day. You go to a website and you feel that emotional response based on, you know, the layout of the website and the colors and all. And with regard to the reds and the yellows being used to create a hunger response, what are some other common color combinations that elicit these responses? Because again, I think it's important for people listening to know it's not just that I like this color or that color, but these colors elicit responses from people. And here, McDonald's and these other companies know, hey, we use red and yellow, people will eat.
Right, right. It goes back to what you're trying to say. Usually when you come to a site or when you go to a business that has had their colors and their brandings properly, you know, spec'd down, everything's been, you know, researched, and they have an idea, they have the concept, they're like, this is what we are, you find that they use colors much more effectively. So what we typically end up finding, you know, like for example, doctor's offices, spas, they tend to go towards the lighter blues, the lighter greens. Those colors are calming, but they're also professional. We see a lot of solid blues, a lot of blacks and grays with big spaces of white for corporate entities. It's typically blue or black. Sometimes you'll see a red in there if they're trying to be flashy, but not typically. All those colors come together on the page or on the screen, you know, they help to elicit that response, that calming response or that trusting response, because it's like a professional type of business. Now you'll notice that a spa or a doctor's office, they're probably not going to use yellows and reds. Yellows and reds for a doctor, not the best signs. When you're a doctor and you see yellows and reds, it typically means something's wrong. So it has the completely different meaning depending on the industry.
If you're hungry going into a doctor's office, you're screwed anyway.
Yeah, you're kind of, yeah, you're probably off on the wrong track there.
Conversely, if you go into McDonald's for a medical checkup, you're really screwed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you might be at the doctor's because you've been to McDonald's too often.
So that, this is,
I mean,
true.
Maybe there is a connection there, but it's certainly not that we're going to make with color.
Sounds like a cross promotion opportunity to me.
Yeah, up on the phone. Who's who do we have to talk to? Give me Ronald. Oh, man. So yeah, there's colors that you would use, there's colors that you don't use. They can vary depending upon the industry, depending upon, you know, the feel. That kind of leads into more of what I like to think of is like the old school, new school mentality when it comes to color usage. Old school color usage, you know, reds and yellows, you're hungry, you wanted something, you know, they're good for stores, good for advertising, they're attention getters. The red makes your heart beat faster. It looks, you know, great. It's eye catching. That's also why they say don't buy a flashy red Corvette, because red cars typically get pulled over, yes, more than other cars, other colored cars. You know, it's the impression of, you know, being faster. That's what the color does to you. The conundrum we have nowadays, or at least in my opinion, is somewhat of a new school approach to color and color usage, you know, via industry. The example that I like to use the most is food, because it's so damn obvious. There's reasons that you typically don't see green websites that have food on them. A green McDonald's sign wouldn't work, or a Burger King with a green, you know, whatever wouldn't work.
Now you mentioned Burger King. What about this new black burger?
Dude, that's just ridiculous. I think that's.
I don't get it.
But I don't. I think they're reaching. You know what I mean? It's in Japan, correct? So it's a little bit more accepting to go off the wall and do ridiculousness. You know, to sell a burger, because let's be honest, they don't. the market over there. I mean, they got to do something to sell burgers. So let's make this goth burger, and it'll have black cheese and black buns. Hey, more power to them. You know, I mean, if it's gonna sell, and I think we've seen more ridiculous things going on over here. We just more accepting of them because it's
true.
Can only imagine, you know, what the. What those folks have to say about our made-for-TV or as-seen-on-TV channels. You know what I mean? Like all that ridiculous stuff that we come up with. Oh, my goodness. ShamWow. You think whatever. Anyway, the new school kind of color thing, you don't use greens. You don't use greens with food in advertising or on websites, because greens typically, if you see green meat, you're not going to eat it. You know, if you see green growing on food, you're not going to eat it. There's reasons you didn't use those colors. However, with the growing movement of organics and vegetarians, vegans, like it's like that, the whole, the lifestyle growing and expanding and becoming more prevalent in society, it now makes sense to have a website that talks about food but is green. You make that correlation now because you see it so often. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, you know, they're talking about plant-based. They're talking about vegetarian. They're talking about organic. So green makes sense in that case. What you can do with color psychologically reinforces what you can do physically, or so to speak. It's that extra added psychological kick that most people don't think about.
From the minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.